We're talking about Ecosonomics and Organizational Vibrancy, Harmonic Vibrancy. So you and Jim are both Trekkies. So let's make this more entertaining.
Oh, would be a good one. Okay, a good one would be the original Star Trek episode, The Devil in the Dark.
Okay.
That's one where they went to a mining colony because the miners were dying, mm-hmm. basically being burned alive. And it turned out there was a creature called a Horta that was native to the planet, but was based on, it was a silicon-based life form, and it ate rocks, essentially, to get its nutrients. And these humans come in, and they start mining, and it's getting in the way, and it's destroying its children. Mm. You know, inadvertently, the humans are killing the kids. They don't mm-hmm. know what they mm-hmm. are. Mm-hmm. They don't recognize it. And that's the key right there. They just went in. They didn't recognize what was around them.
Ah, okay.
All right? We here at CBE will go into a strange environment. Let's say the new social media mm-hmm. environment mm-hmm. that's coming out, you know, mm-hmm. on-demand media and such. And instead of just reacting and doing things the same old, and keeping mm-hmm. blinders mm-hmm. on, we're trying to be aware of what is new out here. What new things are we facing? And more critically, instead of reacting to it in fear, and this is where the culture of abundance comes in,
mm-hmm.
seeing it as another opportunity. How can we welcome this? How can it become part of our federation,
okay.
United Federation of Planets, and thus add its distinct, now I'm getting into the Borg, but add its distinctiveness to our own. Vulcans have this phrase called, it's the eidic, infinite diversity through infinite combinations. And the key there is infinite. You know, the more opportunities you see, the more people you encounter, the more uniqueness you find, that only adds to your own potential as well. That interaction, that interfacing. There's just so much opportunity out there. Everything is a resource. Everyone is another perspective, energy level, another bolstering of where you can go. And so by taking CBE from the typical mindset of a typical radio station of, we have only this demographic of listener we're going to appeal to,
mm-hmm.
we have only this number of staff, and everyone else out there, every other radio station is competition, flipping that over and saying, why can't everyone want to be a listener at least sometimes?
At least sometimes,
yeah.
Right. I don't have to give up my whatever other station.
Right. Why not take some of the people who are passionate about the station, even if we can't hire them? Can we involve them as volunteers somehow so that, again, our community, our family is growing? And then going beyond that into why can't other radio stations get along? Let's combine forces. Let's work together. Let's share best practices and raise up the whole industry so that our community, our nation, the world are getting better in the process.
So this is the Federation of Planets.
Yeah.
And Jim, I'm going to throw this back to you because we've talked about increasing the vibrancy of the planet, right?
Right. And I think the trick is what Dan was just pointing at, is how do you shift it so that everybody, everywhere, every day gets to have the experience of being seen or the engagement that they do bring, the creativity that they do bring. In relationship with other human beings, because we all interact together. How does that happen? And one of the tricks that we're finding in observing groups that are doing this well and trying it out for our own in our own project is the difference between agreements that are sort of obvious and seen and the ones that are using a term of sociality, socially embedded. Now, it turns out, like Dan said when we first came back, is a lot of these agreements are hard to see because they're the technical term, socially embedded in another agreement that I accept. So if I accept that there are scarce resources in the world that are either capital or land or labor, I've accepted a whole bunch of other assumptions. And if I accept that the capitalist is the one that makes the most difference, because that's what I was told, versus land and labor, you just pay rent for your land and wages for your labor, then the capital is what makes the difference. And therefore, they're the ones that make the decisions, and therefore it's their criteria that influence how we make decisions, and then we organize ourselves around the criteria for maximizing the value for the capitalist. But wait a second, that how we organize around what values and who decides were embedded in an early assumption. And so part of what sociology and economics have been trying to untangle over the last decades is, what are all these different agreements that we've accepted somewhere along that way, and are we making those decisions consciously, accepting those consciously, or are we unconsciously accepting them? And so some of them are easy to see, and others they're not. The four big categories of ones that aren't seen so easily is when you look into the world, and then we can hear this in what Dan was just hearing. When you look into the world of your work, how much resource do you see? Do you see infinite potential because the glass is always full of something? There are all kinds of really creative people around me, and now it's just a question of how do we want to engage? So that's a resource or an economic question. Then there's another lens of what we call the political lens of who decides and enforces the decisions that we make. And there's an embedded assumption in the economic model of who gets to decide for the whole or for the individual or out of freedom or fairness or out of the creative process, versus saying, well, it depends who decides. If it's Dan for himself, he decides. If it's a fairness issue, then we decide. If it's for the whole, then, you know, we invite in and we decide as a group, not as the pair. So in each of these, it depends. We can see that from abundance, well, it depends versus it's embedded for us. The cultural question that comes is, well, then what criteria do we use for making that decision? And we can say, well, we actually get to choose the values that influence our decision-making and enforcement around how we utilize and engage with these resources. The fourth question is our big social question of what are the rules of the game for how we're choosing to play together with these values around who makes the decisions with these resources that we have. So there are four completely different lenses, the economic, political, cultural, and social, on seeing what agreements we're accepting or consciously making when we look at what are the rules of the game for what values we use in making decisions with the resources that we have.
And that's where
most of those are embedded, and we don't make those explicit.
Yeah. Take it back to that Star Trek episode, Devil in the Dark, dovetails perfectly with what Jim was just saying. And just to wrap it up, what happens in the end is once they recognize each other, the Horda and the humans, and they come to their agreements, it ends up being this hugely successful mining colony. And so it's a wonderful metaphor for everything Jim just said.
And through all four lenses.